Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Nathan Fox, that's Ben Olson. Together we're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. We have an anonymous email. Go ahead, Ben.
Hey guys, I've gotten back into the groove of studying for the LSAT, comma.
Why does everybody do comma splices these days? I feel like every fucking email we see is just immediately comma splice in the first sentence.
Yeah, it's strange.
Put a period, y'all.
Yep.
Okay.
I've gotten back into the groove of studying for the LSAT, period. I feel relatively confident on LR, logical reasoning, and logic games, -0 to -2, because I'm able to stay focused and keep my attention on the questions. Oftentimes, I will get simple logic game questions wrong because I misread simple rules, forget to incorporate them, or misread a question. Despite a fair amount of practice, I keep making these same mistakes. Reading comp is a big problem for me. Ranges wildly from -0 to -6. I have pretty bad ADHD and I find myself unable to mentally focus while I'm reading large passages. Sometimes my brain will get foggy and I'll find myself skimming over multiple sentences with my eyes before realizing that I haven't been processing what I'm reading. I've tried active note-taking strategies to mitigate this, like highlighting or scribbling notes on scrap paper to outline a paragraph, but I don't know if this is working. I feel that most of my issues with the LSAT come from an inability to concentrate and focus. Do you have any advice in terms of study strategies, RC strategies, etc.? And anonymous spelled out etc., which is interesting.
Etc., yeah.
Yeah, to mitigate this issue. You know, I'm not an ADHD expert, so this is a little tough. I'm assuming, though, that the advice we give to everyone to slow down and make sure you understand each sentence would still have merit for you. I mean, we're telling people, read the sentence and make sure you can understand and, in most cases, visualize what you're reading. If you can't, then that's a clue right then and there that you weren't paying attention, that your mind drifted somewhere else, or that you just, you know, didn't grapple with the words enough. And so hopefully that could help you catch your wandering mind before it's been too long.
I recently read that book, yeah. ADHD 2.0.
Yeah.
I would definitely encourage you to read that book and see if you find anything in there that gives you tips for accommodating yourself. Beyond that, I mean, one thing that I say a lot is like, hey, well, you know, you are going to have to figure out how to compensate now. I recommend that you figure out how to compensate now, because this is only going to get worse in law school. I mean, if you find yourself skimming over multiple sentences with your eyes before realizing that you haven't been processing what you're reading, and you're doing that on the LSAT, wait till you see the type of shit that you're going to have to read in law school.
Yeah, an LSAT passage is 15 to 17 sentences long. Your reading assignments in law school cases are way longer, and they wander themselves, right? Sometimes it's like, where is the judge going with this?
Just
side
immensely
commentary?
More boring too.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like the LSAT is fascinating. LSAT reading comp is fascinating compared to many of your assignments that you'll have to read. Yeah. Right away in your first semester of law school, you're going to have to read shit that's way, way denser and boringer than anything you're going to read on a short reading comprehension passage. If your eyes are glazing over now, fuck, like wait till the print is way smaller. You know, those pages that have the kind of paper that they use in the Bible. Because it's like thousands of pages, you know, the ultra thin tissue paper with the super tiny print.
Yeah.
And it's a 2000 page book. Oh. And it's like, I mean, like you've got to solve this, Anonymous. You got to figure out some strategies. So like, I hope you're not looking for LSAT tips. Because this ain't an LSAT tips issue. This is a you need to learn how to focus issue.
Yeah.
And it's probably a talk to your doctor, read up on your own ADHD, figure out some compensatory strategies for yourself, because we're not ADHD experts. The other response that I have, and this is because it's partially what you're saying might not even be an ADHD. I mean, partially, I'm sure it is, but people without ADHD have the exact same complaint.
Yeah.
I have a hard time focusing. I space out. This stuff's boring. I'm not interested. And there I'm like, well, okay. You need to realize that this test is the primary determinant of where you're going to go and how much you're going to pay to go there.
Yeah.
This is the first step in your legal career. You need to start behaving like a lawyer, and lawyers don't get to say, oh, I was bored. Oh, I'm sorry. I spaced out. Like, that's just not a thing. You know, you're going to decide that you're the person who understands everything they read.
Yep.
You're either going to do that or you're not. Like, if you're not the person who understands everything they read, then what kind of a lawyer are you? So I'm not like trying to beat you up at all. But I am saying that, like, this is not a thing that's going to be successful in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to figure out how to get over that hump. And part of it is just realizing that, like, you're not going to get to decide what to read, and you're not going to get to ignore boring things. You're not going to get to just allow yourself to space out. That's not what a lawyer is or does. You're going to be a professional student for the rest of your career.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, we could go back to your first comment, I think, is the thing that people really need. But it's like you have to make a decision to do it, which is read one sentence or maybe the first half of the first sentence. And you have to force yourself to understand it.
Yep. And you know when you understand it because it clicks, right? You're like, ah,
yeah,
I get what you're saying. And if you're not getting that click, if you're not seeing it in your own head, what is being said?
Yeah.
Then you need to stop and you need to reread it. So you're catching yourself as you go.
Yeah. And for me, a lot of that is about predicting what I think is going to come next. Mm-hmm. So it's not like it'll make perfect sense every time, but it'll be like, okay, I think what you're saying is XYZ. Are you about to tell me ABC? Are you about to tell me PQR?
Yep.
Because I have objections, S, T, and U. Is that where you're going with this? And if you're doing that, if you're having that kind of an interaction with the piece, whatever it is, then you're getting it. Like, it doesn't have to make perfect sense as if, like, I understand your main point immediately based on your first sentence, because that's not a thing. They're not going to state their thesis in the first sentence. Their thesis is going to emerge in the course of 15 sentences, right?
Yeah.
But at the very beginning, in the first sentence, you should at least be able to say, like, well, okay, I think that they're here to tell me, I think I'm about to hear more about whatever. And if not, then you need to reread it, because, you know, there needs to be something going in.
Yep.
At the beginning.
Yep. I agree. Predicting, right, in signals that you did pay attention in that first sentence.
Yeah.
It indicates that you're engaged, and it also primes you for what comes next. So even if what comes next is different from what you predicted, you're going to receive that information so much more effectively and quickly, faster than other people.
Right.
Right?
The point isn't to be right in your prediction. The point is to pay fucking attention.
Yeah.
It's like when I don't give a shit about a basketball game and I am willing to make a wager on it. $5, I'll take either team. I don't care. And then I'll like actually maybe pay attention to who wins.
Yeah.
Because I have some skin in the game, and now it's like, okay, I have a rooting interest at least. Well, that's what these predictions are in reading comp. And you can do it in logical reasoning as well. You know, you read the first sentence of a logical reasoning passage and you start making a prediction. Notice what Anonymous is suggesting here, you know, and poor Anonymous has read a bunch of other dumbass strategies, active note taking, like highlighting or taking notes on scrap paper. I never would teach people to do any of that shit. Instead, think about it engage. You know, it's like nobody ever talks about engagement with the passage.
Yep.
Active notate, you know, make sure you're highlighting.
No, anyone can take notes. You can just literally hear words and then rewrite them down on the page.
Right. And that's what they do. They do that without understanding anything. It's like, that's important. I'm going to write it down. I don't understand it at all.
How do you even know if it's important?
I know.
It's crazy.
I know. Or like, why did you highlight that? Oh, I highlighted it because that's their main point. I look at it. No, it's not. Also, how would you have possibly known that that's their main point when you're reading it in the first sentence?
Or even in the middle of the passage, like it sounds like it might be the main point, but now I need to see evidence come after that and back it up. But heck, they might go on into a new direction and prove something else. Anyways,
I want to make one more comment. Anonymous is very concerned about variance.
Ranges wildly from -0 to -6 in reading.
Right. Comp. Right. I want to invite you, Anonymous. On Thursday, June 30th, I'm teaching a free class called What LSAT Score Variance Means.
Okay.
You can go to lsat.link/Nathan to sign up for that class. Free. 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. Again, on Thursday, June 30th, What LSAT Score Variance Means. And we're going to talk all about these wild variances that you're having.
Cool.
That's that.
Email daily at lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.